We're doing Koheles, we're up to what's called the fifth chapter, the tenth pasuk, and we're continuing with the classical tunes of Kohelet and interpretation, Bezrat Hashem. Birvot ha-tova ha-rabu ochileha u-ma-kishron nivaleha ki im re'ut einav. Birvot ha-tova, when there is plenty of good in the world, rabu ochileha. There are also plenty of consumers when people have a lot of success. So then the nature of people is that they also consume a lot. And so you'd think if there's plenty, then there'll also be plenty of surplus. That's not the way it works. When you make $100 a month, you spend $100 a month. When you make $1,000 a month, you spend $1,000 a month. And when you make $10,000 a month, most people still spend $10,000 a month. Or more. Right? I know a lot of people who tell me that they have siblings who make three and four times as much as they do, and they're always lending that sibling. He's making more than them, and he keeps getting into greater debt than them. One guy told me he makes 8 or 10,000 shekel a month. His brother makes 30,000 shekel a month, but his brother had to take a second mortgage on his house because he had to buy that Ferrari, and now he's in debt on that Ferrari, and he can't close the month. It's so worth it, though. It's so worth it, yeah, I guess. Birvot ha-tova, when there's a lot of good, rabu ochaleh. So on a deeper level, birvot ha-tova, when a person does a lot of good, so then there's also a lot to consume. There's a lot of wages waiting for a person. Uma kishron liv aleha. And what benefit is there to the owner? Ki im re'ut einav. The only benefit he has is what he sees. It's like a person once told me. I buy a woman once said she makes so much delicious food for Shabbos, and by the end of Shabbos, there's nothing. There's no remnant of it all. So, makishron, what good is there to the owner of all this success? But what does I see? And that's why many women have tremendous pleasure watching their families eat the food they make, because that's what they get out of it. At the end of the day, there's nothing going to be left for Sunday. And if there is something left, then everyone's going to say, oh no, leftovers, right? So the benefit is what you see. So again, what pleasure do you have? Shlomo HaMelech is stressing. Even if you make a lot, you consume a lot, so then what's the pleasure? The pleasure is in observing that process take place. And here Shlomo HaMelech is again stressing that people will very often focus on the pleasure they'll get down the road. And Shlomo says, enjoy what you're having now too. Don't just wait for down the road to enjoy. There's always that hope that things will be even better, but there's good now. Umakishon nivaleha. So on the deeper level, what is the master of it all? What does Hashem benefit from all the good deeds? We're doing good deeds, we'll get good wages, and so to speak, what's in it for Hashem? Ki im re'ut einav. What Hashem likes is when he sees that, yes, we are interested in observing his mitzvot. Hashem doesn't need necessarily A or B or C. What he gave us are mitzvot, ve'elokim asa she'iru milfanav. Hashem did things so that we will be God-fearing people, and that's what he wants from us. Now, this has a tremendous depth, the idea that the book just said. On a simple level, God doesn't need anything, right? So then why did he give us the mitzvot? He doesn't need anything. On a deeper level, we have concepts that we like to attribute to God. Good, kind, merciful. God predates the concepts. He created the concepts. He's not bound by those concepts. He created them for us to function in accordance with those concepts. So when we try to take concepts and apply them to God, what we're really doing is we're taking concepts that will placate our understanding of God, but they're not real. They're angles of understanding which help us. You can't say God gave a mitzvah of honor your parents, help the poor, because he wanted mercy. But he created mercy. The whole concept of mercy is a creation. And if you say anything else, then what you're really saying is that something predates God. He had to live up to a concept. No, he didn't have to live up to any concept. And that's what the Talmud tells us, that if anyone says the mitzvos are based on mercy, then that's heretical. Why is it heretical? Because what you're saying is that a concept precedes God. God has to live up to a concept. No, he doesn't. He created the concepts, including the concept of mercy. So then, what is the point of the mitzvos? You don't understand. From our end, we have perspectives of understanding. We say, look at the good in the mitzvos, look at the balance of the mitzvos, look at the mercy of the mitzvos, but it begins and ends by us. If you want to understand God from God's perspective, not from my perspective, then you have to realize you don't understand. So then what does he get out of it if I'm going to try to sneak a peek at his angle? What he gets out of it is that he sees I'm doing what he said. But more than that, I can't say, because I really can't know. You guys with me? It's very late at night to be going into such a deep concept, but I feel like it's a concept that once you have a grasp on it, you'll be able to understand many other verses and Mishnayos and Rambams. You guys with me?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so we just did it. That's the concept. That there's the...
You didn't get it.
There are perspectives. There are different perspectives. God gives me a mitzvah to help the poor. So from my angle, from my perspective, that's a mitzvah to be kind and merciful. And I can say, Hashem gave me a mitzvah to be kind and merciful. This is a trait that God wants me to have. What I cannot say is that God had to add up to kindness and mercy. That's why he gave this mitzvah. I can't say that a driving force by God is a concept, because God created the concepts too. You can't say he's bound by a concept of kindness or mercy. He's not bound by any concept. He created them.
But he lives up to it by virtue of his choice, by virtue of how he was.
He created it, and so he does it for us, but he's not bound by it. So from my perspective, I view it that way, but I can't say from his bound, perspective.
But to say that he's not bound by anything is not entirely true the way I understand it, because he is bound by the covenants he made with Abraham Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu, and Yaakov Avinu, meaning Am Yisrael.
So the truth is that's a whole other subject. I would say he's bound. We say Vashem Elokim Emet. He's bound by truth. Nothing else binds him. Because he chooses to be Emet. Because he doesn't have to answer anyone. He could cause the whole world to be abolished. He could cause us all to forget. There's nothing really that binds him. No one can twist his hand. No one can say, but you said. The only thing that binds Hashem is that Hashem says, I live up to truth. I am truth. Everything else is secondary. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you for clarifying that. It's a deep concept.
So I'm saying when we speak about Hashem, we're always speaking from our perspective. And when a person tries to speak from God's perspective, that's when he risks being heretical. That's what the Mishnah says. Apikores. That's what the Mishnah says, that if someone says, God gave this mitzvah because he had mercy. Wait a second. He's bound by mercy? He created the concept of mercy. From our perspective, we see it as merciful. But that's because he gave us that perspective as well. So then what is it that Hashem gets out of it? Ki imru teinav. He wants to see us do what he said. And that's why the Mishnah says something which seems so difficult to understand. The Mishnah says, God has no reason for doing mitzvahs. They're all decrees. But God gives us reasons. He tells us to be merciful. And he gives us mitzvahs that revolve around mercy. Right. From our perspective, not from his perspective. You can't say, I get the behind the scenes. I know what God was thinking when he gave the mitzvahs. No, you don't. All you know is the perspective God gave you on what's going on with the mitzvahs. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Metuka shenat ha'oved im me'at ve'im harbe yochel ve'asava le'ashir einenu maniach lo lishon. Metuka shenat Ha'oved. The one who works the ground, even if he doesn't produce that much, he's leading a healthy lifestyle. He's working the earth. And his focus is on getting his crops to grow. He doesn't have to spend his night thinking, what are my stocks doing? What are my servants doing? What's happening with my investments overseas? He has one thing to focus on, and that's where he focuses his energies, and so his sleep at night is sweet, because he has one thing to focus on, and that thing he does. Mituka shenat ha'oved, im me'at ve'im arbe yochel, whether he eats a lot, whether he eats a little. Most people sleep well on a full stomach. But when you're focused and you know what you're doing, you sleep well. I experienced this when my wife was hospitalized and other instances when my wife couldn't be around, and I was responsible for the house. And I told my wife, it was the best feeling in the world. So my wife says, why? What'd you like about doing housework, doing diapers, doing laundry, cleaning the floor? I said, because it's finite. Learning Torah is infinite. You always ask yourself, maybe I should learn more. Maybe I should have focused better during the day. I did the sponge, I washed the floors, I did mine, finished, I could go to sleep. I did the diapers, I did the laundry, I dressed the kids, I prepared the lunch, I prepared the supper, I know what I have to do. I finished my list, I could go to sleep at night. When I'm learning Torah, every time I go to sleep, I stop and I ask myself, did I do everything I was supposed to do? So, and the answer is invariably no. There's always that frustration, you know, I could have done more, I should have done more. Did I take enough advantage of this time, that time, was I focused, etc.? There are a million thoughts to plague a person. But when you have one thing and you're focused and you do it, so you can go to sleep well at night. Mituka shenat ha'oved. When you're working on one thing, it doesn't matter if you ate a lot or a little. You sleep much better at night. Ve'hasava le'ashir. And the wealthy person, he has so much wealth, you think he's satiated, but no. Einonu manech lo lishon. He doesn't sleep at night. He's got to get up and check the market when it opens at this time, and he's got to be on top of this investment and that investment and this business and that business. He doesn't get his rest because he has so many things, so much blessing, but that blessing is really carries a tremendous responsibility. Yes, Ariel, you wanted something?
Yes, you said that he was dafka and he's working the land. How do we derive that from the pasuk?
You're saying the word oved doesn't have to be working the land, right? But that's how the commentaries understand. Another level of interpretation is mituka shenat oved. The one who works for his creator goes to sleep with a whole heart, so his sleep is sweet. And he can go comfortably to his burial. Doesn't matter if he lived a long life or a short life. He knows he did his job. He served the Creator. And in the world to come, he's going towards something positive. V'asava la'ashir einenu maniach lo lishon. And the wealth of an ashir, a wealthy person, the satiation of the wealthy person, einenu manech lo lishon, doesn't give him any rest. A wealthy person is one who has accomplished a lot of Torah, and he never rests. Chazal tell us on the verse, dovev siftei yeshenim, that the lips of those that are sleeping are moving in the grave. What does that mean? So we have a tradition that when a person taught Torah, so then when his Torah is repeated in this world, his lips in the grave are moving. It doesn't mean literally, you know, the skeleton's moving, but it means his neshama on some level is repeating the Torah. Anytime you quote a Talmud Chacham, so then you make his lips move in the grave. So Rashi never gets any rest. Rashi's being quoted all day and all night. Ve'hasava la'ashir, and the satiation of the wealthy. They've accomplished so much when they go to the grave, and inu manech lo lishon, so he's got no rest.
A third level of interpretation,
the satiation of the wealthy is talking about those who learn a lot of Torah. So the satiation of the wealthy doesn't let them sleep. Then that it means it doesn't let them go to bed alone. Just like a wife doesn't let her husband go to bed alone. She waits and they go to bed together. So too, the Torah that a person learns is waiting for him at the graveyard. And when he is going to be buried, it goes with him. And Chazal say that when a person is buried, so the good deeds that he did in this world and the Torah that he learned in this world are waiting for him. Because the soul spends a period going back and forth from the grave. You guys know the Medrash? When a person dies, the soul doesn't understand he's dead. So the soul keeps trying to come back into the body. After 3 days, the face in the grave changes shape. The face starts deteriorating. And then the soul looks at the body and says, okay, I understand, I'm not supposed to go back there. And then the 7 days of Shiva, the soul keeps coming back to the house where the person lived. And then it can get elevated. And then you have the period of the 30 days. And then the soul has to ascend and be judged. But the soul can't ascend and be judged because on the way there are all kinds of scary angels and the soul keeps saying, how am I going up there? I can't go up. It's scary. And then there's a light. The mitzvos and the Torah that a person learns, they come charging and they come and surround the soul and they tell her, don't worry, we're here with you. And they help the soul go up and up until finally the soul comes before the heavenly tribunal. So hasava le'ashir, the satiation of the wealthy, a person who learned a lot of Torah in his life, eninu menech lo lishon, they won't let him go to bed alone, just like a wife says, wait for me, honey, we're going to bed together. So too, the Torah says, you're not going to the grave alone, I'm coming with you. So to speak, the merits of learning Torah accompany the person in his ascent to heaven. Okay, we did a few psukim. The next is a long thought. So we'll have to pause here and continue next time, Bezachin.
Thank you.